So as the next item, we have kind of a short Dhamma sermon. We were discussing about Anasati Sutta. It is available in Majjhima Nikaya. And there actually Buddha is giving or recommending Anapanasati as a meditation technique for many monks. If I just recap the story behind this sutta, there are many monks gathered and they were practicing well, and Buddha was quite happy about their diligent practice, and he understood that they are practicing different meditation techniques. And since he wanted to give them a kind of a common technique which is suitable for most of them, so he recommended Anapanasati, that is the mindfulness on breathing. And there he actually sort of introduce it, telling Anapanasati bhikkave bhavita bahuli kata mahappala hoti mahanisansa. Monks, this Anapanasati meditation, if you practice, it would be more beneficial and it will give you a lot of benefits. So he is giving a kind of an introduction because he understood that there is a particular method, kind of a proper procedure. If one practice according to that procedure, according to that steps, then there are many benefits rather than just doing in an ad hoc manner. So here Buddha is using his omniscient wisdom, and he is now giving a kind of a prescription how to practice Anapanasati in a very beneficial manner. So he is coming up with a kind of a prescription where Anapanasati can be practiced in 16 steps. And the first four steps he is telling related to the Kayanupassana, and next four steps related to the Vedananupassana, third four steps related to the Chittanupassana, and the last four steps belonging to the Dhammanupassana. So as you can understand, so Anapanasati can be used to develop all four satipatthanas. So this is in a way his finding. So he is coming up with the methodology to fulfill all four satipatthanas, keeping Anapanasati as the base. So this is the beauty of this sutta. Now if you consider or if you compare Satipatthana Sutta, Anapanasati actually belongs to the Kayanupassana section. There is no any information about Anapanasati in the Vedananupassana, nor in the Chittanupassana, nor in the Dhammanupassana. But in this Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha recommends Anapanasati as the base for developing Kayanupassana, to develop Vedananupassana, to develop Chittanupassana, as well as to develop Dhammanupassana. So that is the beauty of this sutta. Not only that, he then tells if one fulfills all four types of Satipatthana, it will lead to development of the seven enlightenment factors. Those are the seven bojjhangas, satta bojjhanga. And if one fulfills seven bojjhangas, then it will lead to develop of vijja vimutti, that is the knowledge and wisdom. So likewise, there's a very beautiful gradual growth happens in this path. So it's giving us this, in a way, a kind of a shortcut to complete all four satipatthanas, as well as to develop seven enlightenment factors, and to then culminate knowledge and freedom, vijja vimutti. So we were discussing about these 16 steps during last couple of weeks. And I'll just summarize what we were discussing. And as I said, the first four steps belong to Kayanupassana. There Buddha begins with telling that digang asasamiti pajanati, where when one establish mindfulness, he would be able to recognize that sometimes in-breath happens in a long duration. If you compare the previous in-breath, the present in-breath is longer than the previous in-breath. It happens for quite a long time, comparatively. On the other hand, even out-breath also can happen comparatively in a longer manner when compared with the previous out-breath. Next step is rasang vasa santu rasang asa samiti pajanati. Where if you compare the previous in-breath, the present in-breath has quickly finished or has quickly completed. So therefore, it is shorter when compared to the previous in-breath. Similarly, the out-breath also can be like that. So therefore, you can understand now you are sort of scrutinizing this whole process. You are comprehending this whole process. And then Buddha takes us to the next step, asking us to see the complete cycle of in-breath and out-breath. You know, you can't come to this step without letting go of the whole world. Actually, you have to let go of the past, let go of the future, and you have to avoid proliferation, and you have to fully concentrate your attention to the breath. Then only you would be able to fully comprehend this complete cycle of the breath. So if you are capable of fully comprehending this breath cycle, you may understand there's a slight beginning to the in-breath. And then it is improving, it's gradually increasing. And then it is fading away, decreasing. And that is the end of the in-breath. Before the beginning of the out-breath, there's a slight gap. And after that, the out-breath begins. That's also a gradual improvement. And the beginning of the out-breath, the middle of the out-breath, and the end of the out-breath. And then after that, before the beginning of next in-breath, again, there's a slight gap. It's like a bell curve. The in-breath is like a bell curve, and the out-breath is also like a bell curve. There's a gradual improvement, and it reaches a kind of a threshold, and then it fades away. And there's a kind of a gap. And then the out-breath, that is also like a bell curve. There's a beginning, the middle reaches its threshold, and then kind of a gradual fading away. So this kind of a cycle, if you are able to recognize, to understand, then you are in a very restrained position, because you can't comprehend this with any kind of other distraction. If your mind distracts to the past or to the future, or if you have any doubts, then you can't comprehend this, because you are now in a very delicate, very subtle area. Yeah, you are recognizing all these subtle aspects of the breath. So if you are able to understand all these, that indicates your mind has fairly improved. Your mindfulness has sharpened. There's a significant improvement in your this concentration. And you are restraining yourself. You are not changing your posture. You are not having any doubts. You are sort of restraining your mind. And likewise, you are in a kind of a good environment to recognize all this information. So Buddha uses a particular term, sikkhati. So he's training himself. This is a kind of a training. So in order to cultivate certain mental skills, so we are using in-breath and out-breath as a tool. So after that, then Buddha is taking us to the last step on the Kayanupassana. That is, we are asked to allow breath to calm down. So you are not doing any kind of vulnerable thing or any kind of disturbance, so that mind or the breath get disturbed. But rather you allow or you facilitate this breath to calm down. Because actually this, as a result of your close observation, breath starts to further calms down. Breath becomes subtler and subtler. And ultimately, you even can't recognize whether this is the in-breath or out-breath. So you may reach this fourth stage. That is called Passambhayam Kaya Sankaram Asasisamiti Sikkhati. Yeah, you allow breath to calm down, tranquilize. And you can't sleep now. Now, basically, when breath calms down, there's a possibility the beginner might fall asleep, because there is no much activity to recognize. Your mind is fairly calm. There is no agitation in the mind. The whole body feeling very relaxed, very lighter. So there's a kind of a very comfortable position. There's a tendency to go to sleep. So our task or our challenge is to keep ourselves very awakened to this present moment. So you have to train yourself. Again, Buddha mentions as sikkhati. So first time, probably you might fall asleep. So next time you go prepared without falling asleep. So you are maintaining very alert attitude, and then you are able to maintain kind of an alert awareness about this very calm, tranquil area where the distinction between in-breath and out-breath has disappeared, but something is there. Some sensation is there, very subtle sensation is there, but you can't distinguish whether it is in-breath or out-breath. So this is the fourth stage. Then if you are able to pass this stage, then you will reach the fifth stage that actually belongs to Vedananupassana. So it starts with the Piti Patisangedi Asasisamidi Sikkhati. And the sixth is Sukha Patisangedi Asasisamidi Sikkhati, where you are now in a kind of a comfortable region of your meditation. And you may understand, okay, you are getting maybe goosebumps, you are having kind of waves, you are kind of going through some pleasurable environment, pleasurable feelings are coming and going. So Buddha asks us to recognize that. So rather than asking more pressure, or rather than having any kind of a greed towards them, you have to step back and come out of them and look at them objectively. So this is extremely important. Because when you do Vedananupassana, the primary important thing is to recognize feelings as feelings. And they may be pleasurable feelings, happy feelings, even maybe painful feelings, or even neutral feelings. So all these three types of feelings you would be able to recognize. When happy feelings happen, pleasurable feelings happens, you know this is a pleasurable feeling. When painful feeling happens, you know this is a painful feeling. When there's a neutral feeling happens, you know this is a neutral feeling. So you are precisely recognizing this. So this ability to recognize, so to comprehend different types of feelings is a skill. So till you are asking for that, asking for pleasurable feelings, and till you are trying to escape from painful feelings, you can't do it. Once you are confident, once you have a fair amount of concentration as well as kind of patience to endure certain painful feelings, as well as to kind of having a detachment towards the pleasurable feelings, you would be able to recognize them. Pleasurable feelings are happening, you know there's a pleasurable feeling. Painful feelings are happening, you know this is a painful feeling. And at the same time, you are not getting bored or you are not falling asleep. When the neutral feelings are happening, you are able to clearly recognize, okay, this is a neutral feeling. So this is the first and the second stages of the Vedananupassana. And as a result, you feel happy, you feel comfortable. And you may be even able to recognize, so you are feelings are fading away. Feelings are calming down. And there we are coming to a next stage of Vedananupassana. Buddha says, Chitta Sankhara Patisangedi Asasisamidi Sikkhati. So that is actually the seventh stage of this 16-step process. So there, Chitta Sankhara means Vedana and Sanya. That is the feelings and perceptions. So the major drawback or major hurdle here is the sanya, that is the perceptions, because now your body is fairly calm, even the feelings have faded away. Now mind has a tendency to arouse certain already available sanya, already available perceptions, various signs. It might appear like a Buddha image, it might appear like a pagoda, it might appear like a Bodhi tree. For a person who is more faithful, and to another person, it might appear like a, say, demon, like some dangerous vision, or maybe a skeleton. So likewise, depending on the character, temperament of your mind, different images can happen. But actually don't think that everybody has to go through this. Certain people never experience these things because they have a kind of a balanced mind and they are not that going after these kind of illusions. And therefore, it is very difficult to delude them. But there are certain characters who are very faithful and And once your mind calms down, when there's a Buddha image appears, they think that I have to follow this Buddha image. I have to give prominence to this Buddha image. On the other hand, some people think when there's a skeleton shows, then I have to follow that. When there's a demon happens, then they have to think about that. Or suppose there's a picture or image of your passed away relative. So likewise, there are different images can happen. And Buddha says all these are just merely perceptions. Perceptions are like a mirage. So this is the Buddha statement. Buddha says in Penapindupama Sutta, this perception, sanya, is like a mirage. Marichikupama sanya. All these different perceptions appear like water, but they are a mirage. So you have to very carefully keep this in mind. Otherwise, there's a higher tendency you might go wrong. You might give emphasis, some importance to these various visions, various images, mental images. But we need to understand, since the body has fairly calmed down and certain significant feelings also have calmed down, there's a possibility of these different perceptions, signs can rise, can appear, but we should not follow them. We simply have to let go of them, and we can use coming back to the breath. So breath is our base. Anapanasati is our base. So whenever these kind of perceptions are happening, you can simply let go of them without giving any prominence to them. You are coming back to the breath. Breath may be available, maybe like in the faded background area, there's a kind of an ongoing breath. So you are shifting your attention back to the breath as a strategy to let go of those perceptions without giving prominence to these perceptions, various signs. Now there's a region, all these feelings and perceptions are calming down. So that is the last stage of Vedananupassana. Buddha says, Passambhayan Chitta Sankharang Asasisami Sikkhati. So you are tranquilizing, calming down these perceptions as well as the feelings. Now we are coming to the next stage or next step. That is the ninth stage in this 16-step process that is actually related to the Chittanupassana. So this is in a way the today's topic. So we have to touch this today. So there Buddha says, Chitta Patisangedi Asasisamiti Sikkhati. So now you are looking at your mind. So it is difficult to look at the mind from the mind. So that is in a way, if your mind is fairly trained, you can do this. So therefore, in this Chittanupassana section, Buddha warns us not to get on to Chittanupassana section if your mind is not yet prepared, not yet trained, not yet developed. Naham bhikkhave muttasatissa asampajanassa anapanasati bhavanam vadami. So Buddha warns us, telling if your mind is not mindful, if you haven't yet developed fair amount of mindfulness, as well as if you haven't developed enough clear comprehension, sampajanya, then don't get on to this area, because mind is more tempting. Unlike you watch your bodily changes, postural changes, or maybe even in-breath and out-breath, those are all related to the body. So these bodily formations, you can look at from the mind. That is not a big deal in a way. That is where Buddha recommends, or many teachers recommending, Kayanupassana as the entry point for the practice. Because it is possible. It is a kind of a gradual improvement is possible in that area. Because you need to observe bodily changes or bodily processes using your mind. That is, in a way, a kind of possible activity. But on the other hand, if you are immediately trying to look at your mind from the mind, so it might go wrong. Because suppose there's anger going on in the mind, if you try to look at it, if your mindfulness is not strong enough, there's a higher possibility this anger might take strength from this your observation. So as a result, you might fertilize that, strengthen that. So your anger might grow even. Similarly, suppose there's a ongoing lustful thoughts. And if you, without much enough mindfulness, if you start to watch it, probably you may be encouraging that process and your mind becomes more and more lustful. But on the other hand, if you are coming in a very gradual path where you have developed a fair amount of mindfulness using Kaya Anupassana, maybe you are doing a fair amount of walking meditation. As a result, you are developing a fair amount of mindfulness. So likewise, you have some gathered momentum. So you are now fairly, in a way, skillful. At that time, you may be capable of looking the mind using the mind. So here, the approach is not that you lock your mind and watch. The typical approach now say, if you want to watch something, you lock it. You hold it tightly and look at it. But here, you have to allow the mind to behave in a desired way. And you have the confidence that I can watch it. So this is where the mindfulness is quite important. So you have the capacity to come out of the drama and look at it. Typically what happens is we are like an actor of the drama. So we also in a drama, the mind is going on and on in a proliferation, in a chatter, kind of a story. And we are also there. We are acting inside as an actor. So you are a mother, you are a father, you are a daughter, you are a son. Likewise, you play some sort of a role in that story, in that film, in that movie. But are you capable of coming to the audience and look at the drama? So this is where the kind of a transition will happen at this stage, where you, rather than becoming a victim of this ongoing inner chatter, inner story, you have to come out of the inner story and look at it objectively. Like drama being played, now you are in the audience, like a spectator. You are now watching the drama. And you are not asking them to stop the drama either. You allow them to play. And you are like an outsider, you are watching it. And that's a beautiful another simile I can give you. That is where, like, you as a father, mother, if you have kids, probably you take them to the playground and ask them to play as much as they like. You are simply being in the outside and you simply watch. They are playing, they are enjoying, but you simply watch. This kind of an attitude. So you have the mind is allowed to play as it like and you are able to watch it with developed mindfulness. So as a result of this kind of an attitude, so you allow them to happen. There may be lustful thoughts coming, there may be angry thoughts coming, there may be jealousies coming, different kinds of thoughts are coming, but you are giving kind of an equal attention to any of these. They may be wholesome thoughts, they may be unwholesome thoughts, they are merely thoughts. So are you able to look at them in a non-judgmental manner? So this is one important aspect related to the Chitta Anupassana. So you don't have any preferences that always the mind has to think wholesome thoughts. You don't have any such kind of a preference. On the other hand, when there are lustful thoughts or angry thoughts, you are not sort of condemning yourself. I should never have these unwholesome thoughts. You don't have such kind of an attitude. Rather, you acknowledge all these. You accept all these things. They are coming and they are going. And don't offer tea. So that's a beautiful saying by one popular Zen master, Sunyuru Suzuki. He's telling, so allow your thoughts to come in, but don't offer tea. So don't prepare tea at your home when thoughts are coming. So if you are not offering tea, they will go. So don't have a party with these thoughts. Because if you are going to have a party, then they will come and they will stay. And they will ask you to go out of the home. And you become a victim. You become a slave of your thoughts. So this is where we go wrong. So what you've got to do is you simply being aware. Now thoughts are coming. You are in the audience. Drama being played. But you are watching objectively. So if you are watching like this, these thoughts can't go for a long period. Because if you become an actor only, this drama will play for a long time. But if you are able to come to the audience and watch it objectively, without clapping, without offering them tea, you are just in a neutral position, you are watching. Then these actors in the drama will understand, so this guy is not interested about our drama. So they will stop the drama. Because there's a drama to go on. The audience has to have their interest. They are clapping, they are, whistling and all this encouragement coming from the audience. If they are all sleeping, if they are not encouraging, they do their own activity. Then the people on the stage, they will understand no point of we are wasting our time. They will stop the drama. Similar thing happens in our mind. So if you are not encouraging these thoughts, rather if you recognize them, okay, these are lustful thoughts, these are angry thoughts, these are jealousy. Likewise, you can name them. You recognize different categories of thoughts are there, so you recognize. You are not encouraging them. You have a non-judgmental approach. Then they will slowly fade away. And they come and they go. They come and again go. So you can have a kind of a motto here. So you allow them to come, allow them to be, and allow them to go. You are not bothered. You are undisturbed. You have some kind of an established mindfulness. You are not worried when they are coming. You are not afraid when they are coming. And you are not sort of agitated when they are there. Because you are firmly established in your mindfulness. And as a result, they are going. You are not holding them either. So because you are not offering tea or you are not offering food, you are not encouraging them, you are not fertilizing them, so they will start to fade away. They will start to go away. And you are not inviting them again, so they will simply go away. Again, your mind calms down. So this is a beautiful, this kind of a process happens in the Chittanupassana. So Buddha says, Chitta Patisamvedi Asasisamiti Sikkhati. So you are now capable of understanding about your mind using mindfulness. So this aspect, this mindfulness, sati, is such a beautiful skill where you can develop, where you can understand thoughts as thoughts. Different wholesome thoughts, different unwholesome thoughts, all are merely thoughts. You don't have any preference to any of these categories. They are coming due to various reasons. They are coming. And then you simply allow them to be and allow them to go. Don't fertilize them. That's a kind of the point here. So we'll further elaborate this on next time. So with that information, I will conclude today's short Dhamma description. Maybe we can open the session for question and answers.
Avasarai Bhante, we have 4 questions today.
Yeah.
But actually, there is one question relating to the Dhamma talk, so I'll start with that one. Dear Bhante, today's Dhamma talk highlighted the dangers and sensitivities of watching the mind. Is there a sign, is there a signpost or indication that we are ready to do this? Or is it happening naturally in the practice if we just stick to daily and continuous practice? That's the end.
Yeah, at one point you have to take a risk, because you don't know whether now your mind has the capacity to watch thoughts. Say you are doing a continuous practice, you do walking meditation, sitting meditation, suppose you do Vedanupassana, so likewise. So you do your continuous practice, and at one given moment, suppose there are thoughts coming in the mind. Last time, suppose you simply put your attention back to Vedana, to your feelings, rather than directly watching thoughts. But any particular time, you have to take the risk and look at thoughts. At that time, suppose because of your this observation, if these thoughts are fading away rather than growing, so that indicates now you have enough strength to look at thoughts. You now can play in the third stage. If assume it is like a progressive stages, now you can actually promote yourself to the Chittanupassana, because now you have developed mindfulness, you have developed clear comprehension, sampajanya. Therefore, you can play in the third stage, third category, Chittanupassana. So different thoughts are coming. Now you can directly watch them, confront with them. Because now you are more stronger. Your mindfulness is more stronger, more stable. As a result, you can directly confront different thoughts. Don't think that you are fighting, but rather you simply pay your attention, being aware of these thoughts. So this mindfulness is quite strong. So under the light of mindfulness, these thieves of defilements can't stay. You can take it like that. Suppose there are thieves coming to your home. If you are putting a light, then they will run away, because they are afraid of the light. They want darkness. Similarly, when different defilements are arising, if you light your mindfulness, strong mindfulness, then these defilements will fade away. So that indicates now you are skillful, you are capable to play in this Chittanupassana section. Yeah.
Question number 2, sitting mindfulness. Venerable Sir, this is regarding my sitting mindfulness practice. When I start, I use the technique you have taught to scan the body a bit and make sure that I am aware of the body sensations to confirm that I am in the present moment. Afterwards, I try to observe the various sensations in the upper body, and most of the time I can grasp the breath. Then I observe the breath and get to know the differences between in-breath and out-breath and many sensations around the nostrils, which I keep my focus on. After about 5 to 10 minutes of continuous application of this technique, the breath starts to become subtle and fades away. My mind distracts often, but I can bring it back by becoming aware of the sensations and reapplying the observation process. Once the breath fades away, and when I am in a relaxed state, the awareness slowly comes to my sitting posture. It is a very gradual process, and I observe the space that I am in when the breath fades away. I observe that the space that I am in when the breath faded away, shrinks and concentrates on my body as something coming back to the body. The awareness comes inside the body deeper and deeper and concentrates around the sensation of my sitting posture, mainly the pressure on my back from the floor. It seems to be going deeper and deeper and never ending. During this time, various thoughts come and go, but my focus is mainly on this body posture. Since this is happening over a period of time in all sitting sessions, should I now focus on the thoughts rather than the body posture? Thank you for your invaluable guidance. May you attain Nibbana in this very life. That's the end.
Yeah, probably you can further improve mindfulness using walking meditation, because they are... you will be trained to watch different sensations at different positions. Say when your left foot is touching, there are sensations available on your left foot, significant sensations. When your right foot is touching, there are sensations available in your right foot. So likewise, now you have the skill to locate your mind, position your mind wherever you need. So if you have this kind of a skill, it's not necessary to do from top to bottom scanning. Rather, you are in a relaxed position to move your observation to any place around the body. Suppose there's a sensations happen at the knee, So immediately you are there to observe it. Suppose now there's a sensation at your forehead, immediately you are there to watch it. So this kind of a skill is in a way important for this type of practice, because you are not sort of artificially moving your attention even for a unavailable sensation. But now what you do is, when there's a sensation, you are there to observe it. Very close observation is there, and you have the skill to quickly move your attention to that position. Wherever the next sensation arises, you are readily there. So this skill being developed in walking meditation. So if you are able to do this again and again, so you will understand the nature of the sensations, what, how they are behaving, what are their characteristics. So you are understanding that. So as a result, you may develop a fair amount of wisdom. And similar approach can be applied to Chittanupassana as well, as I discussed today. So assume there are no sensations available for your observation. At that time, you can watch the mind. All sensations have faded away. And now suppose there are slight thoughts in your mind. You can simply watch these slight thoughts. They also appear and then they disappear. Another thought appear and then disappear. So likewise, now you start to watch your various thoughts, as I discussed today, objectively. Suppose all these even thoughts disappear. Now there are no bodily sensations, no thoughts. And you can simply just be without holding anything, without grasping anything. You can check. You can simply check whether you can simply being aware of this process, but nothing is there to hold. Nothing is there to pay attention. Everything faded away. Everything disappeared. You are in like an inner space. So you can simply improve this. Then you will get into another dimension of this meditation where you can develop kind of a mindfulness without an object. So typically we start with some gross object, then we slowly get on to the subtle objects, and ultimately we can even let go of that and get into the region of no objects. But mindfulness is there. You are quite diligent, you are fully aware, readily in the present moment, utterly in the present moment, and completely open. Your mind becomes sort of spacious. So this is another area that you can improve yourself. You can continue according to these instructions.
Question number 3. This is a theory question. Dear Bhante, there were a couple of questions last time regarding the 7th and 8th stage in the Anapanasati Sutta, where the text meaning is not so clear. The stages before the 7th and 8th highlighting rapture and pleasure, which are straightforward experiences, and we can identify them time to time in the practice. The text is clear as well. However, the next two stages seem a bit confusing. In Sutta Central Translation, this stage is linked to the rapture and pleasure stage emotions and explains as they practice breathing in, experiencing these emotions. They practice breathing out, experiencing these emotions. They practice breathing in, stilling these emotions. They practice breathing out, stilling these emotions. In Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation, this stage is explained as experiencing the mental formation in generic terms applicable to any emotion. Can you explain again the Chitta Sankara mentioned in this stage and in practice, if our scope of observation should be limited to rapture and pleasure or feelings related to Chitta Sankara only? Lots of merits, Bhante, for your service. That's the end.
Yeah, actually, if you want some clear evidence, you can refer Chula Vedala Sutta, where Venerable Dhammadinna, Arhat Venerable Bhikkhuni Dhammadinna, explains what is Chitta Sankhara. So here she is explaining Chitta Sankhara are Vedana and Sanya. That is feelings and perceptions. So when you get on to say Vedanupassana section in the Anapanasati Sutta, the first stage and the second stage, as you have mentioned, are the rapture and various pleasurable feelings and kind of a happiness, kind of a comfort. All these are actually you can understand. Now, once you are opening up yourself to these various feelings, so that's a kind of a automatic kind of process can arise. Now, when you are practicing, you will understand that there are certain pressures or certain kind of experiences are there. You are not doing it. You are not creating them. But the process itself is generating them. Say it's like, suppose your fingers are now start to stretch. Your hand starts to stretch. It's kind of a massaging is going on. But you are not doing it. This process has taken over and the body is going through these kind of different, maybe pleasurable or maybe even painful, different kinds of feelings. So these are the feeling side. And you simply have to allow it to happen. This is kind of a process going on. The body is going through some sort of a rejuvenation process, we can say, as a result of this practice. So you simply let go of and you simply allow it to happen. You simply understand. You simply allow it to happen. You are not encouraging it. You are not suppressing it. You allow it to happen. As a result, after a while, it will fade away. Pasambhayan chitta sankaran asasisamiti sikkati. You can reach there. That is the last stage or the eighth stage. Similarly, as I explained today, the chitta sankhara related to the sanya, as I said in Chula Vedala Sutta, Venerable Dhammadinna is mentioning, chitta sankhara is vedana and sanya, feelings and perceptions. Perceptions also can arise. The point is, when the vijnana, the consciousness doesn't have establishment on the body, the rupa, the body has very much disappeared, faded away. So there is no strong footing on the body. Similarly, there are no strong or significant feelings available to establish, to have a footing for the consciousness. Now we are to sit, we are to stand. Now there are enough past data, past perceptions, past signs available in the mind. So they coming forward and the consciousness try to find a footing, kind of a stage using these perceptions. So they appear like different manner. So it depends on your character. Suppose you are a very faithful character, then kind of Buddha image can appear. So if you give significant, if you give some sort of importance to this Buddha image, so immediately this perception is available and you have given importance to it, now the consciousness immediately get established there. Suppose there's a demon image happens in the mind, so you get afraid. So that means you have given an importance to it. Rather than understanding it is a mere sign, you have given importance to it. You giving importance to it means that consciousness has well established there. So this is a kind of a trick of the consciousness, vijnana. You know, the Buddha explains consciousness is like a magician. So there are different magics it can play, show. So if you know that these are merely perceptions, these are merely signs, your eyes are closed. So whatever things that you see are all imaginations or all mental images. So don't get misled thinking that they are real images, but they are simply images, mental images, perceptions, signs. If you know them as a mirage, so you don't get deluded by them, you don't get misled by them, you simply let them go. And if necessary, you can pay attention to the breath, that is the base. And as a result, these perceptions also go away. That again indicates in the Pasambhayam Chitta Sankaram Asasisamiti Sikkati, that is the eighth stage. Maybe the feelings are fading away, tranquilizing, calming down, as well as because of your wisdom, you are not motivating, you are not encouraging these perception signs, as a result, they also fading away. They also subside. They also disappear and calming down. And that is the pasambhayang citta sankharang asasisamita sikkhati. So you simply practice next time and see whether there are different feelings are appear. Then you practice according to the teaching, and then you will understand they will fade away. And again, there could be certain perceptions, certain signs appear. So if you apply, they are like mirage. So you are not encouraging them. You are not getting caught to them. Then they also disappear. So this is this disappearing, fading away of all these perceptions and feelings is the last stage. Pasambhayan chitta sankharang asasisami iti sikkhati. So emotions actually happens when you give importance to them. Suppose there's a Buddha image happens. So if you think this is a Buddha image, this is a real Buddha, he has come to instruct me and all blah, blah things. If you put all these sort of importance, value, your stories, your likes and dislikes, if you attach to your garbage to this, then there's emotions going to arise. But if you are very wise, if you know that Buddha has mentioned that all these images, mental images and perceptions, signs are nothing but a mirage, then you are able to disengage from this process, and as a result, they will fade away.
Question number 4. This is a general question. Dear Bhante, I have been involved in community service since I arrived in this country, I guess Australia, almost 30 years ago. When I start meditating, I get all issues related to my community projects to my mind, which makes it difficult for me to concentrate on meditation. What should I do? Give up all my community work so that I can concentrate on meditation? So far, I have sacrificed lots of my personal gains for the service of the community. Please advise with metta kitsiri. That's the end.
You can do community service once you are somewhat established yourself. Say, for example, if you are stuck on mud, so can you take another one also in the mud? You may not be able to, because you are also in the mud. So therefore Buddha says, so once you are able to come out of mud, you may be able to help, give a hand to another person who is in the mud. So similarly, if you want to practice, if you want to develop your mind, if you want to develop mindfulness, so first we need to have time for ourselves. So once we are confident, now I am capable of helping another person, teaching another person, because you have the strength, because you have experienced mindfulness, you have understood the behavior of your mind, kind of different characteristics of your mind. You have some understanding about yourself, then may be able to help another person, to guide another person, and to participate in an activity, that kind of an activity. Because this participation is also necessary. Don't think that you always have to be secluded. Because in this path, as we grow, we need some inputs from others as well. Otherwise, we may think that we are saints. We are like arahant. But on the other hand, when you are dealing with others, when you move with others, once there are situations, there is irritation arise, kind of heartbreaks arise, sort of agitation arise due to various causes, because moving with people is not easy. So this movement is also necessary. So you need to associate certain people, maybe even different characters, difficult characters, then you will understand yourself. You may be a meditator for many years, but when you associate particular person, you will understand you get agitated, you get upset, you get angry. That indicates still defilements are within ourselves. So likewise, this association is also important. But at the beginning, it is better to find seclusion and to develop yourself. It's like a training. Now say, if there's a battle, so if before you get into the battlefield, you have to train yourself. So this training happens quite away from the battlefield. So you have various sort of exercises to improve yourself and to develop certain skills. And with that developed skills, you can go to the battlefield. Yes, Chatu.
Question number 5, theory question. Venerable sir, this is a theory question. We have heard some teachers emphasize that it is essential to have right view first, or samadhi, to even start a spiritual journey. Also, the final attainment of Dhamma is only for the white. This sounds similar to Mahayana Buddhism, that the final goal is to understand everything by your own knowledge and become a type of Buddha. In our practice, we focus on the most simplest things, and the only thing in front of us is the present moment. If we follow a practice of understanding what is in the present moment, eventually we get to the profound things. I have also heard that according to Theravada tradition, you don't need to understand everything, but just keep on practicing and practicing, which will take you to the last post eventually. Is this correct? Can this be the difference between Mahayana and Theravada in the grand scale? My apologies if this is not an appropriate question. It's the end.
Yeah. So actually, thinking about, I mean, we don't need to compare whether this is Theravada or Mahayana. So basically, I mean, as you develop mindfulness, so it will slowly couple with wisdom. Actually, that is where the sati becomes sampajanya, coupled with sampajanya. That actually naturally happens with the practice. Say, for example, Buddha starts with a very simple term telling satova asasati, satova pasasati. So this is in a way the bare attention, where you are asked to pay attention to in-breath, pay attention to out-breath. Now the next stage is not that. Next stage is you need to recognize, you need to understand whether the present in-breath is longer or shorter when compared to the previous in-breath. So that indicates you are now sort of introducing kind of a wisdom aspect there. So you have to clearly see. So the seed of wisdom, we can say, is the clear comprehension. So you have to clearly recognize whether the present in-breath is longer or shorter compared to the previous in-breath. Or present out-breath is longer or shorter compared to the previous out-breath. So likewise, now you are improving the wisdom aspect, Dhamma Vichaya. You know, the Dhamma Vichaya is also explained in this Anapanasati Sutta. Buddha says, Tang Dhammam Panyaya Pavichinati, Pavicharati, Parivimansang Apachati. So whatever the phenomena available in front of you, whatever the phenomena that you are observing right now, you have to clearly understand, clearly comprehend. You have to search what is there. So you have some sort of a curiosity to understand what is really there. So this kind of a searching attitude, investigative attitude is quite helpful. So this is what? So this is the inner way, right view. So you are developing kind of a understanding. You are having kind of a curiosity to search, to investigate. It is not that you are blindly believing anything, but rather we are investigating what is happening in the present moment to this particular phenomena. So slowly, slowly, we are expanding ourselves. So you apply it to the body, you apply it to the feelings, apply it to the thoughts. So likewise, you are expanding this investigation. So more and more your wisdom grows. So I think this this happens in a way, kind of a multi-dimensional manner, like a matrix. So your concentration helps to develop wisdom. Wisdom also develops to help, say, sila, morality. Again, morality helps to develop concentration. Morality may be helping to develop wisdom. Wisdom also helping to develop morality. So likewise, they are interdependent, supporting each other. So, I mean, right view is taking the forefront, that is true, but they are helping each other. So That's why, I mean, it's difficult to tell. I mean, we always have to have clear view first, and then only you should go to the next stage. So rather than telling like that, so you can have some amount of understanding, and with that understanding, you get on to the practice. And as a result of practice, you further improve your understanding. And then you again further you practice. As a result of this practice, again you improve your understanding, your right view will be more clearer. So likewise, they are helping each other. And probably you can listen to Kacchanagotta Sutta. Recently, I did a virtual retreat using Kacchanagotta Sutta. It's in Sinhala medium. So you can get into Nisarnoni website, and it is available there. So there I try to explain this point. Yeah, in a way, we first have the kind of a worldly kind of right view. You know, Laukika, what you call the Sammaditti. Laukiya Sammaditti. So you very much like you understand there's a karma, there's a different causes. If you do correct thing, there may be correct results. If you do bad thing, there are bad results. So likewise, you establish yourself in the sort of morality. Establish yourself in the kind of a wholesome stage. On top of that, you develop the Lokottara Sammaditti, the more advanced type of understanding. So more and more you develop this type of understanding, this Lokottara Sammaditti, more and more mind becomes open rather than rigid. So mind becomes more and more flexible, more open, more spacious, more understanding, no less grasping. So likewise, there's a significant improvement. And you actually can listen to this series of Dhamma sermons, and then we can maybe talk about this topic further, maybe on next time.
Bhante, we have another 5 or so questions, but we're sort of running late. Do you have time today, or are you sure?
We can spend another maybe 15 minutes.
Okay, I'll go through it very quickly. Question 6 is a theory one. Dear Bhante, what is the meaning of Nibbida?
Nibbida means disenchantment. Say once you do your practice, suppose you are again and again observing something, and at the beginning you can see clearly the picture. Say you are observing various element characteristics. Now as you do your observation, so this element characteristics become more and more common characteristics. Now you will lose the boundaries of the individual characteristics, but now they become kind of a common characteristic. Everything like blurred, everything like a flux, and inside and outside appear like very same. So as a result, you lose interest. So everything like a flux does not show any boundary, so you can't give a name to it. It's like a flux. Lokusaminasi used to say it's like a goje. It's a kind of a gojaya, kind of a flux. Everything is mixed. So as a result, you feel kind of disenchanted, dispassion, because now it is not interesting. It's not beautiful. So this is the kind of practical happening, practical arising of Nibbida, because as a result of understanding of the real nature, the Nibbida is arising. So Buddha explains that Yathabhuta Jnana Dasana, seeing things as they truly are, helps to develop Nibbida, helps to arise Nibbida. Yeah.
Question number 7, theory question. Venerable Bhante, many thanks for the explanations. My question is about Priti Sukha during Vedanopasana. You mentioned that these could vary between different individuals. Is it possible for someone to not get any Priti Sukha? Thank you again for clarifications. That's the end.
I think Priti Sukha actually maybe can available in any different manners. So there are different categories of Priti Sukha are explained in books. Say for example, some subtle rupture, subtle comforts are possible, kind of kind of instant happiness, instant pleasures may be available. Maybe kind of a lighter, soft kind of happiness is available. And maybe even significant kind of happiness, pleasure is also available. So there's a wide range of different rupture, different piti. So you might have heard Paswana piti. Five types of piti is actually explained in the books, say in Visuddhi Magga, for example. So this is called Kuttika piti, Kanika piti, Ubbega piti, Parana piti. So likewise, different categories are there. So you might have felt it, but at that time you didn't know that this is piti. Because when you have some theoretical understanding, you may be able to compare your experience with that theoretical understanding. That in a way kind of advantages in certain stages. But if you don't know these things, so these may appear, this may happen, but you didn't recognize them as piti. Because you don't know, your vocabulary didn't have that at that time. So therefore, typically these things arise in the path, but we don't need to give much importance to them because there are more stages are available and you don't need to worry whether you observed that or you experienced that, whether I did it correctly or these are all, I mean, sort of related to doubt. And when you are further and further improving, more and more you continue a practice, so they may not happen. Because more and more your practice line towards the upekkha, equanimity, rather than pleasure and pain. Pleasure and pain go away, but more your practice turn towards the upekkha, equanimity. So if you immediately get on to equanimity, don't worry about since thinking that pressure didn't happen, pain didn't happen, that is not necessary.
Question number 8, mindful sitting. Most Venerable Bhante, I was under the impression that the focus on the breath is no longer there. I was under the impression that the focus on the breath is no longer there as the breath calms down and fades into the background in a very subtle form. But the 16-step handout describes the yogi to be thinking of the breath right through all the 16 steps. Does one actively still do this? Most grateful for your guidance, Swami Mansa. That's the end.
No, actually, this is in a way kind of a wrong understanding. So, I mean, breath is there. I mean, that's why we are living. But we are not giving prominence to it at these stages. Say, for example, Vedanupassana section. So different feelings are arising, but at that time you are paying attention to the feelings. Maybe different signs, perceptions are arising. So you know that they are feelings, perceptions, sorry. But at that time in the background, breath is available. So in case if you want to establish yourself, probably you can step back to the breath. This there. Similarly, when you are in the Chittanupassana, so suppose Chitta Parisangvedi. So you give prominence to the mind. So you have assumed that you came through the stepwise process. So you establish mindfulness using breath. Maybe you get onto the Vedanupassana. You now further improved it using or refine it using the Vedana, the feelings. And now you get onto the Chittanupassana. Now you are able to directly watch the mind face to face. There is, suppose angry thought is there, so you can simply understand that. So you can simply watch it. But at that time, you don't need to look at the breath. If necessary, you can look at it. But it is not necessary because you can immediately, you can directly look at the thought, the mind available. And assume because of lack of mindfulness or weak mindfulness, assume that you understood now I am in an uncomfortable position. I am going to get caught to these ongoing thoughts. And at that time, probably you can immediately switch back to breath. Therefore, the breath is like a life-saving jacket you have in case you can use it.
Question number 9, mindful sitting. Venerable Bhante, during sitting meditation, after about 20 minutes or so, one of my legs go numb and stays numb and becomes uncomfortable. This seems to last for quite a while. It doesn't go away by ignoring. Should I concentrate on it? I would be grateful for, if you could advise what to do. Much merit. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, one primary point is that you have to check your posture. Before you sit, you can check your posture. Is there any sort of blockage of the nervous system, any blockage of the, you know, the blood circulation? Because sometimes when you are sitting, we get on to some, unknowingly we may get into some postures which might block the blood circulation. So we have to check our posture and see whether I'm in a quite comfortable posture, everything is happening smoothly. And that is first thing. On the other hand, now if you are a practitioner for a long time, if you have some amount of mindfulness and concentration, as you have suggested, you can watch this pain, because after a while this pain is going to arise. You know that it's going to come, and you go prepared, and when it is available, when it is arising, you can watch it. Because Vedana-anupassana actually is a very good field for you to develop your skills, your mindfulness, wisdom, and you have to have a fair amount of endurance as well, because it is not that always the pleasurable feelings are coming. On the other hand, there are many painful feelings going to arise. And again, as a result of your observation, they appear like more painful and even difficult to bear. So you have to have a lot of endurance, a lot of patience when you are get onto this. And it is possible. There are many yogis using it. Many yogis are telling that even with tears, Bhante, I was able to watch it. So that kind of endurance, that kind of patience is there in those characters. Different people have different skills. So if you feel that you can watch it, you can handle it, then start to watch it, because it's giving a lot of information, a lot of wisdom is available using Vedana-anupassana. And therefore, you can make use of it.
I think the next question, Sarangaya has the question. I'll pass to him.
Bhante, in the for the last question, you mentioned that if you want to watch the breath is there, you can watch the breath. Let's say if we are in the zone where we get rupture or a pleasure feeling, we watch it, but we know that there is the breath, but we don't want to watch the breath as well, then what is the object? I think that was the question I understood. Like in the script, in the 16 steps, it says, looking, observing the in-breath and observing the out-breath in those steps as well. So we know the breath is there, but we don't take that. So is that the space, or is that the place where the breath has faded away that we should be looking as the object, when there is no the feelings or any other thing available? Let's say the rupture comes and goes, and we know that the breath is there, but we are just looking at the empty space. Is that what you meant?
Say for example, the Kaya-anupassana section, it is quite evident that we have to deal with the breath. But the problem is in the Vedana-anupassana, Chitta-anupassana and the Dhamma-anupassana section, whether it is necessary to watch the breath.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes,
so
yes.
In the Vedana-anupassana section, Piti Parisangvedi, Sukha Parisangvedi, Chitta Sankhara Parisangvedi. So all these things are more related to the Vedana, more related to the feeling, perceptions. So that is why it is, Buddha says categorically, so this is in the Vedana-anupassana section. Now you are in the, say, Vedana-anupassana Satipatthana. Similarly, in the Chitta-anupassana section, Chitta Parisangvedi. So Buddha categorically says, you are Chitta Parisangvedi, the prominence. Prominence is given to the mind. But ongoing thread is breath is available. Because as you know, so when we are going through these stages, at any given time, there's a possibility we might go wrong. We might lose our established mindfulness. We have weakened it. So we can always go back to breath and sharpen mindfulness. Again, re-establish ourselves in mindfulness and again come back to the battlefield. And therefore, I don't think that we have to split our attention, that we have to watch the feeling as well as the breath. Assume if you are trying to do like that, then you won't be successful. Because breath is available at your nostril and maybe feeling is available at your knee. Are you able to do that? So then we go wrong. I mean, say, then you can't spend all of your attention onto the feeling because your attention is splitted. You have to pay your attention at the nostril as well as you have to pay your attention at the knee. So you are not 100% concentrated on feeling. So therefore, I feel that breath is the kind of the base available in case of any kind of lack of mindfulness, lose of mindfulness, you can step back to breath and sharpen your attention and again can get on to the process. And again in the Chitta Parisamvedi section, so more and more you are watching the mind. So at that time, if you are going to watch the breath, breath is in a way more gross. And it belongs to the body. But the mind, the aspects of the mind are more subtle. So while watching the mind, if you are trying to watch the breath, you can't handle it. And assume if you get into the last stage of the Chittanupassana, Buddha says Vimochayan Chittam. Actually, we didn't discuss this yet. Vimochayan Chittam means you are freeing your mind. So when you are freeing your mind, so are you going to hold the breath? Are you going to attach to the breath? You can't. So when, I mean, it does not match, no? Then it's a kind of a contradiction. So Buddha is asking us to free the mind. And if we presume that we always have to grasp the breath, so I mean, how are we grasping? So we have to use our mind to grasp. So therefore, breath may be available like a ongoing platform for us to operate. But we are playing different roles. At that time, if we lost our battle, then we can come back and settle ourselves. Like in the bunker, you again strengthen yourself. Again, you improve your attention, improve your mindfulness, improve your concentration using the breath, and again you go back to the battlefield.
Bhante, I think we're a little bit over time. There's still two more questions. Can I put it next week?
Okay then. I mean, are they related to theory or what are they?
Both on sitting, mindful sitting.
Okay. 3:48. We'll take one and see.
Okay. Mindful sitting. Dear Bhante, when doing sitting practice, Dear Bhante, when doing sitting practice, I can't feel the hands. Then I feel like opening my eyes and watching this, but I never open my eyes. It automatically forgets, but I never do this. Is it all right? Please give some advice. Sorry, that's a mess I could make out of it.
A little confusing. I mean, not clear the question. So, I mean, basically, you don't need to open your eyes because if you are, as a beginner, when you are opening your eyes, the whole process gets disturbed. You have to go back to the zero once you open your eyes. So, better you endure this position, endure this process and go prepared. Keep your eyes closed and you feel it. You try to feel it. I mean, this is not, don't think that you always have to feel the hands. They may disappear. The whole body may disappear. So don't worry. I mean, don't think that you always have to feel your hands and you might not. Yeah, we can get into the other question as well.
This one's actually a little bit of a theory question. Venerable Bhante, In the fifth stage, you discuss being aware of the emotion, whether pleasurable or neutral emotion. I am not so aware of the emotion in the moment. Rather, I become aware of the emotion only once it has changed to something else. Is this something I should simply practice and it will evolve? Or is there something I can do to become aware of the emotion at the time, something like noting the breath? Much merits for your guidance and advice. That's the end.
Yeah, I think the confusion has come by applying the term emotion, because I feel that before we get into the emotion, we get into the feelings and perceptions. And on top of feelings and perceptions, we are developing the kind of emotion. So in a way, we are using the what you call the yoniso manasikara. Now we are coming towards the causes and more early stages of the process. And if you have a fair amount of mindfulness, this won't grow towards the emotion. I mean, emotion means that you are get on to more, thinking also going to support. You can't have an emotion without much thinking. So having thinking indicates that you have gone further and further. You have given support. You get on to the proliferation, rumination, and all these things are there when you are getting to the emotion. But on the other hand, if you are able to recognize feelings and perceptions at their inception, at their early stages, then as a result of developed mindfulness, they will start to change. They will start to fade away. And you know they are as feelings. When you know feelings as feelings, you are not encouraging thinking. Say, for example, there is a painful feeling arise. And you know this is a painful feeling. On top of that, you are not developing a story. You are not going to develop inner chatter. So that is possible. So you drop this inner chatter. You cut off this story. But you know there's a feeling is there. So in this way, you are able to calm down the feeling and you know it is feeling. And you understand they are coming and going. They are arising. They are changing. It is not just a single feeling, it is a bunch of feelings. So likewise, you are looking at it in an investigative manner. You are like a researcher, you are like a scientist. But if you get on to the emotions, means that is more, you give prominence to them. You take them as mine. You are attributing it to someone else. Suppose there's a perception arise. And you give importance to it. Oh, this is my passed away mother. And now you start to cry. Oh, she died a long time ago. You start to cry. Now the emotions. True. But that's why I mentioned Chitta Sankara means Vedana and Sanya. Perceptions as well as the feelings. And you know this is a perception. This is not my mother. This is a perception. So you have a clear-cut understanding. So this is just merely a mental image. This is not my mother. Don't give a name. Don't attribute it to your past relative. This is just a mental image, kind of a perception, kind of a sign. So at that time, you break the cycle. You simply disengage from the emotion and you simply able to handle it in a more advanced manner, more constructive manner. More wise manner rather than you get on and struggle at the emotion level. Yeah, I think we can wind up today's session then, Chatu.
Okay, Bhante, thank you. I'll be very quick with this. We did have a lot of good questions and we're very grateful for Bhante to give up his valuable time to accommodate us and much merits to Bhante. So with that, I'd like to end the session. Teruvan Saranai. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Teruvan Saranai. Sukhi hotu.